Welcome to the Yolanda Shoshana podcast, where I get into lifestyle, pop culture, food, libations, advice, and a little bit of magic. Now, let's get wicked. I started a new sipping series called Sipping with Shakespeare on Instagram, and this episode is the audio from the first one. Joining me is Rashawn Hall from Bar Time Stories. We get into Othello, rye whiskey, what each of us would pair with Othello, and so much more. Come through for a little bit of booze and bard.
Hey, how are you?
Cheers. Hey. So, it's so good to see you. Oh my God, I have to say that first. It's been so long.
Yes, I've been talking to all kinds of people about it. Yes, remember the olden days where we would see people that we knew who we weren't related to or lived with?
I think, though, the funny thing is, I think you were one of the last people I saw before this all got shut down. You did that little gathering.
Yes.
And then, and de Blasio was like, we're shutting down the trains. Hey, Lydia. And then, like, a little bit after that was kind of, that was it.
Literally the last time I was in Manhattan. I drove in once since then. But, yeah, that was absolutely the last time I set foot in that I actually was out of the car. I would say that I've been in the city since then, but not out of the car. So
for those of you who are here or watching at a later date, like, this is unusual for us because normally I would see Rashawn, like, we'd be at a Fabulous Lounge somewhere at a launch party, getting our craft cocktails.
Acting a fool, you know, usual stuff. One of the few people who I think more often than not can make me laugh harder than I feel like I make myself laugh. So
oh my gosh. Well, thank you.
Yeah.
So while we are here, let me just say, so I am the Bruja in the Bronx, Yolanda Shoshana, coming to you from Shakespeare Avenue. I do live on Shakespeare Avenue in the Bronx, and this is Sipping with Shakespeare. This little random idea came to me because I am now returning back to stage, and what I miss the most about summer, because I hate the summer, is Shakespeare in the Park. And I thought, will anybody join me and have fun pairing things with Shakespeare? And people are saying yes. And thank you so much, Rashawn Hall, for being here of Bar Time Stories. And
I am honored to be your first guest.
Yay! And we are going to talk a little bit about Othello and pair Othello. I had a feeling you'd pick Othello, though.
In high school, that was like that of the Shakespeare that I did read. I think that was the book that, or the one that most resonated with me. I mean, you know, the racism, the love, the revenge, the sarcasm of Iago, all of it just speaks to who I am in a lot of ways. So,
Now, you grew up in the area, right? You grew up in Jersey?
Born and raised in Newark,
So were you forced, and I say forced because most of us in elementary and junior high and high school, we had to read Shakespeare. I read it because I was in Texas, but were you forced to go see it? You all had more options, I think. No.
No, we were not forced to go see it. We were forced to, it was part of the curriculum, obviously.
Yeah, I don't think anybody enjoyed it when we were growing up. I mean, most people didn't. Yep. But then I went to school to be a theater major, and then I fell in love with the iambic pentameter. Okay. So I'm going to give my view of what happens in Othello, because not everybody's read Othello or seen it, which is shocking. Do you want to give the synopsis, or you want me to give it?
I want you to give the synopsis. You'd be far better at that. I refreshed my memory earlier today.
I know, right? Even I. So long story short, Othello is the story, what's actually called Othello, the Moor of Venice. And Moor is technically, definitely a slang. It's not a good terminology. Othello is at the top of his game. He is a general in the Venetian army, loving life, winning, and he sneaks and goes and marries Desdemona, who is a white woman. Her daddy is not happy. And there's a troublemaker because it's a tragedy. And in every Shakespearean play, there's a tragedy. There's always a troublemaker. Iago, who is one of my favorite villains, he starts some mess. And he tells Othello that he believes that Desdemona is cheating on him, and this causes him to be jealous and causes his downfall. I mean, I don't want to ruin it for you, but if it's a Shakespearean tragedy, you know more than likely somebody's going to
Maybe
die.
everybody,
I know, maybe everybody's going to die, and it's never a good time, but a lot of stuff goes down, but Iago is. I don't know. That's one of my favorite villains. And so you saw Othello with Lawrence Fishburne and Kenneth Branagh. Do you ever see? I mean, I forgot about it till you
yeah,
posted that.
it's well, I mean, I've seen, I think over time I've seen a few different versions of it. It's the version, it just because of my, again, because of my personality, my sense of humor. When I was like, what is a great image of Othello that would like not be like the very, Wikipedia nail on the head version, but also not a very, serious dramatic version in that, I think just, yeah, just speaks to it. And I also love Kenneth Branagh. I think what he did
Oh, yeah.
slightly on in Thor and kind of bringing that Thor series like I'm a nerd. And that
Was like,
there,
you're bringing
there's
it
some
Thor. I
shakespeare
love
there
it.
too.
That's
There's some shakespeare
true.
there. So yeah, I
Oh,
just
my
find it like
God. You are
very
so right.
natural. So yeah.
Well, Kenneth Branagh, for those of you who may not know who he is, I mean, some of you may know him from his American work, but he is a brilliant Shakespearean theater actor. He also directed As You Like It years ago. Denzel Washington, I mean, Emma Thompson at the time, who was his wife. And I think Keanu Reeves is in that movie, if I'm not mistaken. And he wanted to start an American British Shakespearean company, and it never happened, which is a shame. But he is known for his work of the Bard. So, and those of you who are a little more modern, if you've seen the movie O with Omar Epps and Julia
I think,
Stiles.
see, that would have been my other great reference. I forgot about that. Yes.
Yes, like that's more modern, which, so I'm going to have to revisit all of these. My favorite, the person who I love who played the Iago, I got to see Liev Schreiber. Those of you who watch Ray Donovan, Liev, fine ass Ray Donovan Schreiber. He was an amazing Iago. I saw it in the round at the Public Theater. If you love the Bard, if you ever get a chance to see Liev Schreiber, if he's playing, just say yes, go, because the way he makes Shakespeare work is just, I think everybody will understand. All right. I'm curious, what did you pair? Like, what cocktail? And then I'll talk about the wine that I paired with this. What did you pair, a cocktail or a spirit?
I
What did
pair
you pair?
spirit, and it's a little on the nose for me. It's a little on brand. It's funny. I did think about a cocktail initially. I was like, oh, dark and stormy. I'll buy that red. But I was like,
Ah, that
again, a
would have
little
been.
on the nose. It could have been dark and stormy with some really like funky, rum, some sort of rum agricole that was aged. But I went with rye. Long story short, I just think
Okay.
the again the seriousness, the depth of a good rye versus with the spiciness, which I think kind of plays into like the revenge and the Iago, the mischief, the mischievousness of that character. I think is what rye whiskey is in the whiskey family. And people who love bourbons, and I have a lot of friends who love bourbons. I started as a single malt scotch drinker, but when I gravitated into the American whiskey world, I fell in love with rye because it gave me some of it gave me the sweetness, but I don't love things that are too sweet. And it just, it works out perfectly. So yeah, I paired a little rye with it. If you want to do brands, you can do brands. I actually have a couple.
Yeah, I want to know. Tell me.
But yeah,
I would love to know.
so ironically, just shameless plug, I am part of celebrating National Rye Month with Rossville Union. So I started off with their barrel proof. So that's what I'm drinking right now. As you can see, it's going down. So the folks at Rossville Union
Yeah,
should pick it up
you're having a
later.
good time with that bottle.
I'm doing a cocktail demo at the end of the month for them. So I do a little research, had to
Yeah,
do some tastings.
You had to do research.
I had to
Okay.
do research. It's a tough job. So yeah. So started with that. So that's what this is their barrel proof. So it's I'm not great with the proof. Let's see what it is.
Where are they located? I don't.
They
I'm not familiar with them.
112 proof. So they are. This is a proprietary spirit from MGP. So they're in Lawrenceburg, Indiana.
Okay.
So
Wow.
MGP is pretty much that kind of the known. Well, A Lawrenceburg's kind of known for rye. They make 90% of the rye, I believe, is the number. But yeah, so they make a lot of whiskey. A lot of like craft distillers will start out by sourcing whiskey from them and then, aging it their own way, adding
Okay.
something and, flavoring it differently or putting their own touches on it. So yeah, so I actually went down there a couple months ago and loved the place and have been, working with them this month on that. So really fortunate to be doing that. So that's what I started with. But yeah, I have a
Okay.
couple other things here depending on how how crazy we get. So a little, and I also have a little stuff from our friends at Whistle Pig. One of my friends has Barrel Pig, so I have
Whistle Pig. Okay. Yeah. Like one, okay, if you had to pick one that goes with Iago, I just, like I said, I love that character. He's such a fabulous villain because he acts like he's like an honest man, and he's not. He's like the best troublemaker. Yeah. I mean, I call him like a little bitch. He also, one of the reasons why Iago is very pissed off at Othello is he got passed up for a promotion. Yeah. And then he also thinks that Othello slept with his wife. I'm like, okay. I mean, it's highly possible.
That happened, you know?
But he's like the only brown sugar in town, and some girls may have just been thirsty.
Right.
I'm gonna cheers to that. So, what would you pair with of what your bottles are there? What would be good with an Iago?
I think something older. I think it's there's a smoothness to it. There's a smoothness that when you're that kind of. Like, I think it's smooth. I think that's why I see Leah Trevor makes perfect sense playing that character. But there is a subtlety when you are trying to play people without them knowing you're playing them, which, I think in you know, my own, I'm not playing people, but my own sarcastic way, like, the best joke to me is a joke that I only get when I say it.
yes, you love to crack yourself
I
up.
Myself,
so, yeah, you do.
So in that sense, yeah, like the smoother things, I mean, it can be a high proof, but like, yeah, there's some of the stuff from Add a Whistle Pig, like this is the Barrel Pig from one of my friends, this is their. This is a 10-year, but they did a Barrel Pick of it. And this is a DIY 3. Again, I drink a good amount of rye. But, it's smooth. You think that at the proof that this is, which I think it's like, it's at 120. And maybe, okay. I'm not saying everyone can drink it, but I'm saying if you are.
Yeah, that's.
I can drink this without feeling like it burns my throat. Like, it doesn't, it just kind of goes, it's very smooth. So it's like a good aged rye, 10, 12 years. I mean, there's something out there between Rossville Union, Whistle Pig, Michter's. Mm-hmm. There are a ton of great rye whiskeys out there that are great age statements. And it doesn't have to be a 10-year. It can be, you know, you can go 6, you can go 4 or 5.
But I like that. That's good for Iago, though. I like that because it's like, I like that a lot. Cool. I never knew that you were big on rye. See, this is what's great. This is a whole new thing.
There's not a lot of rye events, so typically when we're out, it's
I guess that's why.
Yeah, but yeah, if I am at home, that's the go-to. If I'm gonna choose, it's rye. Like, yeah.
Good to know.
I would love to know about this wine that you were.
So for me, I picked. I started off with a Negroni today, and I'm like, it just to me shapes up all of Othello, which it wasn't on purpose. And I'm like, a little bit of bitter, a little dark, I like it. But now I've gone to what I think a wine that signifies Desdemona. It's a California rosé.
Okay.
I know, but it's from Sanford, and it's a rosé of Pinot Noir because the Pinot Noir is a black grape, and since she likes it a little dark, hey. Okay. I thought that made sense. And it's a pretty good rosé. Yeah. I was like, so I'm sipping a Desdemona. I mean, she ran away from home to marry this brown man. So I'm like, she had some chutzpah, but she was so dedicated. But there's also this delicateness about her, which has this floral and fruity. And I'm like, Desdemona in a glass. So yeah. So now that we've talked about Shakespeare, I want to talk a little bit more about your site, Bartime Stories. How long have you been doing this site?
So I'm going to pour myself a little whiskey so I can do my story time. I started Bartime Stories after getting, let's say, transitioning out of a position. And was just, you know, took some time, you know, had a great support system. And my wife was just kind of like, you know, you need to take a minute and do something that drives you, that is you're passionate about. So I was a writer, I was a music journalist and entertainment journalist for years prior to getting into the corporate world, and just had developed this love over time of bars and cocktails and talking to bartenders on trips. So just started reaching out to a bunch of people to freelance. And that was pre-Bartime Stories, but I lead into it. It was just kind of like, I want to write about spirits. I have to imagine that there are people out there. And I've been reading Liquor and Thirsty and took that experience and same idea and started just cold emailing people like, hey, here's my portfolio. I would love to write. And I'll have to give Tara at Thirsty credit because she was the first person who was kind of like, sure, love to work with you. So I wrote my first published piece for them and then wrote for
her. Oh, I didn't know. Oh, cool.
So yeah, and it Bar Time Stories, the name itself, again, give all credit to my wife. She came up with the name. We were talking, and at the time I was looking for a job, and she was kind of like, and people Google Rashawn Hall, and they go to your Instagram, all they're going to see is boobs. So you need to figure out a brand that's going to work in this space that is separate from your name. So yeah, she came up with the name, and it's funny. It's like, if I can't think of a better one in 24 hours, it'll stick, and it stuck. And so yeah. So started that as the kind of the social media, just my Instagram, and evolved and started working with folks and started thinking about a podcast. And so I launched a podcast in 2018 called Shot Caller with Lucinda Sterling from Middle Branch and Seaborn. And then decided to kind of go off my own and start my own podcast. And like, and in doing so, I was like, what am I going to call this thing? All right, this is what people know me as if you don't know my full name. So I just kept it as Bar Time Stories. So that is it. So it's bartimestories.com is the site. And it's not updated as often as I need to, but more stuff will be coming out. So
I think at this point, nobody. I mean, it's just, it's like we're all just trying to keep it real and, absolutely, you know. but you did get an exclusive with Angels Envy. And I will say, shout out to Angels Envy. I love that story. They are on my bar forever. They were already there, but I actually got some more so tell me a little bit more about that. And this is around Black Lives Matters for people who may not know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it's funny. I was talking to some friends and, you know, obviously all the stuff that's going on this year, pandemic, as well as kind of all of the racial injustice has affected us all in different ways. And, you know, it's been interesting to see how people have been responding to everything. And one of the things that OJ Lima, who actually is the barrel picker for DIY, and their team is called Taste Select Repeat. We were just talking about kind of looking at people's responses and what is the hospitality, what is the spirits world doing? So we're just looking at different responses. And to OJ's credit, he was deep diving in comments and going at people on the Black Lives Matter thing. But my thing was kind of like just seeing what people thought. I mean, and I credit any brand that did say something. They don't have to, but again, you're selling a product. I appreciate you do, but you don't have to. It may hurt your bottom line. So Angels Envy wrote what I thought was one of the most, I don't say emotional, touching kind of statements. It was very honest. It was like, we are not perfect. We are doing what we can. We want to do better. And they had real tactical ideas. You know, they're looking to start a apprenticeship program for young people of color who want to be distillers. And, you know, the statement just really spoke to me. So I just kind of just ran through my emails. I was like, I know I have an Angel Envy contact from, you know, a recent event, threw out an email, said, hey, would love to talk to Wes Henderson, who's their chief innovation officer, co-founder, just about the idea, if he's open to talking about it. Now, didn't know if he would be or not. I thought they might have said, oh, the statement's the same, we're not doing anything else. But he was super gracious and got on the phone with me, I think, a few days later. And, you know, we had this really great conversation that's on the site. I would love at some point soon to get, you know, clean up the audio and get it out there as a podcast. But, yeah, it was a really
thoughtful
conversation. He admitted to, you know, being in Louisville, not only were you talking about the pandemic and the killing of George Floyd, but they also, you know, being in Louisville, he's right at the center of the Breonna Taylor. Like, you know, he is someone who sees that on the local news almost every day. So, you know, he spoke to that. He's like, you know, it opened my eyes to things. And I think that is the real interesting thing, that you have someone who, and I've seen several people do this, who I know and love, respect, and people who, you know, may not necessarily have to do this, like, oh, this experience, this time has changed my perspective. And it opened my eyes to things that privilege and awareness and things that I wasn't paying attention to, or really didn't, they didn't need to, because you weren't stuck at home having to see this on the news 24/7. So, yeah, it was just a really great statement from them. And then, you know, the opportunity to kind of talk to him a little bit more about that and have him in. It's like, I don't have all the answers, but we're trying, which is, I think, all that any of us can really do.
Yeah. Wow, that's pretty awesome. I didn't know you were going to put up as a podcast. That's cool.
I would like to. It's, you know, it's a real, I don't even know if the audio quality is where it is. It's a really thoughtful, interesting, honest conversation. I think, you know, it was, you know, right in the middle of everything. So it's kind of like, I don't know if that's, yeah, I definitely would want to talk to them. I would love to do it. But I think it's just, you know, something that I really enjoy doing, because it, you know, I think we all felt at some point, I definitely did, like, how do I write about this stuff anymore? How do I write about spirits? How was things? What are I think I took about 2 or 3 weeks off of Instagram and social media because it was like none of this makes sense. It's not important. So, but someone said your joy can be your revolution. Like that can be your form of protest. I'm like, so yeah, why should I not enjoy a good whiskey? Why should I not enjoy doing something like this? Because, you know, people out there who don't give a damn about us or anyone else are doing what they want to do anyway and they're having a good time. So why shouldn't I or you or we? So.
Cool.
You know, all right. Starting to talk because now I'm just, you know.
I know. No, that's why we're here. Like, I want to talk about that Shakespeare. So back to Shakespeare for a second. Now I'm thinking, all right. I asked you about Iago. So what do you have over there in your little next to you or not next to you? What would you pair with Othello himself? What would be a good rye or bourbon that you go, that says Othello to me?
I do have it here. I will have to be off camera too long. I have to like dig through my closet. It's I would say Mithras Tenure, something that is like, again, strong.
Okay.
I mean, I don't think there's many flaws with that Mithras Tenure. That's a personal favorite of mine.
I've never had it. So I guess I got to get this. Okay.
I will, you know, we'll talk offline. We'll do some sort of like very contactless delivery, but yeah, no.
Okay.
Or honestly, if we were talking about cocktails, I think a classic old fashioned. Again, you get that bitterness, you get that spice, not bitterness, you get that spice. But probably I would lessen the simple a little bit, so not too much simple syrup, probably more bitters, and either a barrel proof rye, like the Rossville Union, or something a little bit stronger because he has that gravitas, he has that authority. But I do think there is a little sweetness there. Like obviously Desdemona is his Achilles heel in that way. Like there is has a love for her that obviously, you know, is what causes the overall conflict. But
so. Okay. I like this. This is good. I'm like, cool. Okay.
I like it. Okay.
Yeah. Okay. That's part. You're pairing very, this is just so interesting to me. Like, and I also have found that there are more people in the wine and spirit worlds that are really into Shakespeare. And I'm like, I guess I should have known that because we kind of all geek out about stuff. So I guess I shouldn't be so surprised.
It was just, you know, we were passionate about whatever passion. Yeah. I can, it, you know, it's whether it's movies, theater. Yeah. I think we're music. Yeah, I love this concept because the same thing, you could do this to your point. You could do this with like songs. You could do this with so many different things. Like, how do you pair
a lot, whatever
song? You know, I would love to ask you how you would pair Purple Rain. Oh, that's not even my favorite Prince song. Let's Nothing Compares to You with a wine. Like that.
That's a good one because, you know, I make playlists. But I like that. And I've been meaning to make another one. So now I'm going to have that on my mind. Oh, my God. I love that song. And I like other people's versions of that song, too.
Yeah, no,
Sinead's version is, I mean, that's one of those. Oh, my God. You know, I miss him.
Right. But, yeah, that's kind of what Bar Time Stories is about. Like, it's funny. I often tell people, I'm not the nose and palate guy. I would turn that world over to you and many other people who can say, oh, I smell this and I get this on the nose. And I am, what is the intersection of like the culture and the spirit? Like, what is the story behind it? Who are the families that created this spirit or this cocktail? You know, what do people think? How do they enjoy it? What is that experience behind whatever it is that you're drinking or enjoying?
Cool. That,
you know, drives me.
All right. I have one more question for you. Huh? If you got stranded in Jersey and had nothing else to drink but one bottle of something right now, it doesn't mean like forever because people are always like, what are you going to drink forever? What bottle? And don't feel bad because look, brands, we love all of y'all. But I said right now because there's a difference because sometimes you're in the mood for this, you're in the mood for that. Today.
I'm literally racking my brain right now.
Oh, really? I'm surprised.
I'm racking my brain because, I feel like I'm going to preface by saying I'm not going to choose whiskey because I feel like that's too on the nose. It's also summer. So.
What has that got to do with anything?
Because whiskey is not a traditional summer spirit, so I would like
to. It's not. Food. What about when I have my barbecue and when I want my whiskey? What difference does it make?
I do it all the time, and you know, you and I both. Well, I am. I'm out there at the barbecue sweating.
Okay, then what do you normally have in the summer? Rum? What do you have then?
Yeah, it's a rum. I'm trying to think.
Okay.
I think it might be. It might be a rum. It might be the Clement.
Clement is not some bad. Oh, you got boy. You just that boom. Boom! Like, is I mean, you're like right there.
Yes. So, you know, this is I'm actually in my basement. Which there, my little player. Yes. So I think this.
Which one is that?
This is the VSOP, the Martinique.
Okay.
So I think that one, or they have the chairman's collection, chairman's choice. I forget what it's called.
Okay.
I only had a sample of that, and that's gone. So.
No, it's all good. I was just on a tasting with them. Yes. Very interesting stories. Yes. He's very interesting. Ben is amazing. I'm assuming you've met him. I mean, how could you not have? Yeah. Okay.
No, sorry. Take that back. I'm a liar. It is. I know exactly what it is right now. It's the Mount Gay XO Peat Smoke Edition. So Mount Gay did an XO expression that they finished in a peat smoked Scotch barrel.
Oh, damn.
And that bottle is like a unicorn bottle. It typically goes, I think, on secondary market between $400 and $500.
Yeah. It sounds like it.
That's absolutely, I had a taste of it. I've had one or two.
That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
That sounds amazing.
Because it's rum, but then I still get the whiskey's feeling and taste and the smokiness that I love and the spicy / smokiness that you get from a rye or from a scotch.
And I'm an XO girl. Yeah, no disrespect, but you just upped the game. Like, I mean, you just took it another level. You went XO on us. You went VSOP, then the XO. I'm about an XO all times.
No, like, yeah, the Mount Gay XO is
So you would be bougie if you had one bottle.
I would sip a beer because I would drink. That's how I actually drink that kind of dark rum. But yeah, I can just put a little ice in it, and that's. I prefer it that way. Like, yeah, that is the beauty. I don't think I ever realized that probably until 2 or 3 years ago. That yeah, with a good rum, or even a barrel aged gin, you can just pour a little bit out.
That is true.
Like, yeah, you don't have to. I mean, and I love making a cocktail. I'm not by no means am I a bartender or a mixologist, but I do love making a cocktail. But
I'm sure you make a good cocktail. How could you not? You've had enough. Good
right.
ones.
Yeah, so. Exactly. But at the end of the day, if it's just me and I don't want to go through all the trouble. I'm happy to just pour a really good spirit that by itself a little bit of ice and call it a day.
I know your wife likes wine. Does she do cocktails at all? Are you?
She does. She's one of the few people who drink me under the table. So I will say that for the record.
Oh, shit. Oh, that's my girl right there. Because I know how you roll. Okay.
Yeah. So she does, and that's the funny thing. So she does wine. She does do cocktails. It's funny, but wine is the thing that makes me sleep. Like I have 2 glasses of wine. 2 glasses of red.
I know. We got to talk about your wine or lack of wine love.
I don't not love it. It just makes me sleepy, and I'm like, oh, I can, yeah, got it. It's nice. It's wine. But yeah, that I can be all day at a distillery. Yes, but she does cocktails, but she also prefers either straight spirits or wine.
Oh, I like her.
She'll do a dirty martini, and she'll do a margarita, and she's gotten into Palomas this summer. So that's been the new thing. It's like
Palomas.
We've been obsessed with grapefruits in this house. So the cocktail I'm actually making at the end of the month is very grapefruit focused because I don't know. I'm an 8-year-old man in my head. I guess I'm obsessed with grapefruit. So,
Hey Amanda. I'm just saying hi to somebody. So, what's the cocktail? So, you're going to be on an Instagram live doing rye. When is it?
It is the last Thursday in August. So, if I am not mistaken, I believe that's August 27th. Let me look at a calendar really quickly for that.
I was going to say y'all can find your calendar. I mean, we're all home.
It is. You August can find your calendar. Look at me.
Look at two. What are you making, or is it a secret? What are you making?
Yes, it is not a secret. It is called the Rye Society. It's a riff on. It's basically a riff on a Boulevardier.
Oh,
so it is looking at the ingredients right now. It's Rossville Union rye, Chenard, a little Campari Antica, and some grapefruit extraness. So I'll leave that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So all right. I'm like, I got a little bit of that stuff in my house. All right. I'm gonna have to swing by.
Yeah. So it's funny. I had this idea, and I'll probably tell the story on the 27th. For anyone who's there, I had the idea for like a very Italian themed Boulevard EA, and I reached out to Lucinda and I said, hey, I have this idea. Here's the bill, because that's the person, if I'm going to send a cocktail bill to anybody, that's the person I would send it to, because she's probably the most accomplished bartender I know. And I said, here's the bill, what do you think? She's like, oh, it's amazing. I was like, oh, wow. She's like, it's a Little Italy. Did it 4 years ago. I was like,
oh,
damn it. But I mean, at least I was in the right, like, space. So
that's all right. Yeah. I mean, you're exercising your bartender skill.
Yeah, I was like, I had never, I was just kind of thinking, like, what do I like? What's a great rye cocktail? I think I sourced a couple of answers from people. I was like, what do I want to make? I didn't want to, there were certain things that I feel like people think Manhattan, people think Sazerac. So, like, what is a thing? Not that the Boulevardier is all that unique, but it's like, what is something different? I just wanted to try to be a little left of center always. So.
All right, my man. So I'm going to let you go and enjoy the rest of your Friday. Thank you so much for talking shakes and sips and all that good stuff.
Thank you.
Last words on Shakespeare? Anything you want to say about Shakespeare?
I think I'm going to go back and either read Othello or watch another version.
I like it.
Start to revisit. Okay, so I do have a question, not a final word.
Okay.
If I were to go back and get into some Shakespeare that is not Othello, what do you recommend?
Ooh, that's a good, man. You want to watch it?
Watch it, read it. I'm open. I don't want to say what's your favorite, because I feel like that might put you on the spot too much.
Well, it's hard because actually the thing. So before all this, I saw Ruth Negga, the actress. I don't know if you know who she is.
Yeah.
I saw her play fucking Hamlet.
Oh.
Oh my God, she was amazing. And I'm like, I know that has to be taped. I don't know if it's out, but she was amazing. That show was amazing. It was a cast from Ireland.
Okay.
It was so good. But I will say, you know what? There are two actors that I love that did, and I have to find it myself, but Benedict Cumberbatch,
okay.
And Johnny Lee Miller, if you do a little search, they did some bars, and I know it's free, and you can find it online and watch it. I have a feeling they'd both be great. They're, like, both my favorite Sherlocks,
okay.
So I feel like watching whatever they do would be pretty good. One more. Ralph Fiennes and I can't remember the other woman's name. They did Anthony and Cleopatra, and I know that that's taped because I watched it live, and it's taped, and you can find that. He's a really great Shakespearean actor too. So I would recommend that first, Anthony and Cleopatra. I'm actually going to probably find it, and I'm going to send that to you. So anybody else, find Anthony and Cleopatra with Ralph Fiennes. It's recorded, and you can find it. It was like at the Globe or one of those fancy theaters.
One of those fancy places you hang out at. I know.
Yeah, one of those fancy places. Well, thanks again, everybody, and thanks for checking this out, and have a great weekend. Yeah. Bye.
Cheers.